Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what does the word polaquear mean in modern Costa Rican Spanish, and where does the term come from? Dr. Saul Weisleder was born in San Jose, Costa Rica. He studied economics and sociology in Costa Rica and development studies at Sussex University in the UK. He's been dean of the School of Social Sciences at the National University in Costa Rica and also director of its economics department and professor of economic policy in its master's program. Dr. Weisleder has served as a consultant to several international and national organizations and has published several books in the areas of economics and natural and social sciences. He was elected a member of the Costa Rican Parliament in 1994, during which time he also served as its president for 2 years until 1998. He's also served as Costa Rica's alternate ambassador to the United Nations. Dr. Weisleder is a prominent member of Costa Rica's Jewish community, and he spoke with us about its early days and how it has evolved until the present. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Saul. I was wondering if, very quickly, you could give us a brief history of Costa Rica, because I know that most of our listeners probably know where it is, but probably don't know very much about it.
Sure. Costa Rica is a 50,000 square kilometers country with 4.5 million people living in the country. It became independent in 1821 from Spain. It was the poorest province of the Spanish Empire until independence, but later it started to develop a bit more quickly with the export of coffee, which was introduced by the last Spanish governor.
When you say it was the poorest, you mean because it didn't have gold or...
Exactly, because it didn't have minerals that were interesting for the Spaniards. Neither it had a large Indian population, and also because the first immigrants to Costa Rica were not from the aristocracy or were not from important families, so they had to work the land themselves. So that, at the end, became an advantage for Costa Rica in the long term, because it developed as a relatively more homogeneous society and more democratic society, to the extent that our first head of state was a teacher, and the second one was a lawyer. So we had only a few, very few, we have had through our history, military people as the heads of the state.
That's very unusual in Latin America.
Yes, it is.
A couple of things that I think are very interesting are laws that you had, or things that you did in Costa Rica that were very much ahead of their time, like free public education, and you abolished the death penalty very soon.
Right. Yes. The death penalty was abolished in 1883, and free, compulsory, and financed by the state, the primary education was established in the 1880s. So from very early, Costa Rica became a country with very low rates of illiteracy, and that went through times, and today I would say that less than 3% of the population is illiterate.
Why do you think that happened? And why do you think Costa Rica was so different?
Well, because what I explained at the beginning, I think, although there are other theories which relate to the subject that we will discuss in more detail, I suppose, later. Some people say that among the first colonizers of Costa Rica, there were many Sephardim Jews who came, who were expelled from Spain, and later looked for a place where they could practice the religion and they wouldn't be prosecuted. So Costa Rica was a very far away country. And as you know, the Jews, through thousands of years, have had an interest in education and an interest in spreading education among all the people, not only the rich ones. That was a difference between the Jews for centuries, and some people say that that may have had something to do with it. But sources to invest, and they decided to invest it in education.
Yeah, something that surprises me is that so many Jews arrived there so early, and it seems that the Inquisition didn't get there. Was that a little bit maybe parallel to what happened in Portugal when they hid in the mountains between Spain and Portugal, and they figured that they were pretty safe there because the Inquisition couldn't really reach them?
If the hypothesis of that many of the first colonizers were Jews is true, then there might be this parallel. But I have to say that at least, I'm not an expert in this, I'm not a historian, but it's not a hypothesis that can be accepted like 100% true. So that might be true or not. But what is true is that there are no examples, or there aren't substantiated or documented cases of prosecution by the Inquisition in Costa Rica.
So tell us about the Jewish community there. When do you really have first evidence of Jews in Costa Rica, and how did the community develop?
Well, what I'm going to refer as the Jewish community in Costa Rica, it is basically the Ashkenazi community that was established by Jews coming from Poland. Late 1920s and early 1930s. Mm-hmm. That is the one that I belong to, which today is about 4,000 people. My grandfather, for example, with some friends, arrived in 1930. Most of the Jews from that community come from two or three shtetlach, or townships, from Poland. One of them being, the ones who the majority of us come from, is called Zelechov, which was in the area of Lublin. Mm-hmm. They were mostly shoemakers and tanners, but there were also other craftsmen, people dedicated to other craftsmanship. Just a few, maybe, were already traders in Poland. When they arrived, they started to work as peddlers, going from house to house in a country that was probably only about 500,000 people was the size of the population. So it was very widespread. It was very difficult to go house by house selling small things on credit. And they collected every week a quarter of the local currency. But that they were accepted because they brought new opportunities to the population at large. In the community and within and in Yiddish, they were called, and when I was growing up, clappers, because clapper means to knock on a door. Well, to knock in general, but that in that case is knock on a door. But in Spanish, they were called polacos, which means Poles. And the interesting thing is that later that word became part of the national, not the Jewish, but the national culture. And even today, to work on that is called polakiar, which is a verb that describes the activity of selling, peddling on credit, you know, that people pay small amounts every now and then.
In that immigration in the 20s and 30s, mostly from Poland, about how many people immigrated to Costa Rica?
There was immigration all through the late 20s and early 30s until the start of the war, of course. Then when the war started, no more immigration, everything stopped. And then after the war, there was another wave, let's call it that way. I would say probably, it's difficult to say, but not more than 500, 600 people.
Mm-hmm. Were there any restrictions on immigration?
Yes, they were. Already in the 30s, there were restrictions, especially when Hitler arrived, took power. There was a strong German community in Costa Rica, like in all of Latin America or in Central America, and the majority of them sympathized with Hitler, and they were influential around the government, not in the government, but in circles of the government. They were mostly involved in the business of coffee, import and export, but later in other businesses. And apparently they influenced in such a way that the government established restrictions for Jews to immigrate in Costa Rica. However, the presidents usually were not in that position. I can say that even a president, which was, his name is León Cortés, who was president from 1936 to 1940, there were restrictions under his administration. He personally signed the permission for my family, my grandma and her five children, to join my grandfather to come to Costa Rica. And there are a few other examples like that. However, there were some administrative measures that officially, supposedly, Jews were banned from immigrating to Costa Rica.
Can you tell us about this immigration from Poland, their synagogue, how they organized their community?
Right. Very early, they organized themselves for praying. They used to pray. At the beginning, I think the majority used to live not in San Jose, which is the current capital, but in Cartago, which was the capital during the Spanish Empire. But then, many moved to San Jose, so the community was more or less divided basically between Cartago and San Jose, although there were others who lived in other places. So anyway, both in San Jose and Cartago, they organized themselves, especially for the high holidays, also for the Sabbath prayers, but they prayed in houses. In 1932, they rented for the first time a place in San Jose where they established the first synagogue, which was called Shaarei Zion. And later they built in the 1950s that same synagogue with the same name. And a third one from the same community I'm speaking was built just about 10 years ago, which is the current one, which is a beautiful building, very, very nice with... also, the second one was not just the synagogue, but there were offices for the youth and for Bnei Brith and for other Vitzo and other organizations. Very interesting is that when they organized legally the association to represent the community and to have a legal basis for that, they called it Centro Israelita Sionista de Costa Rica. I think it's the only case in the world where the name of the community is not only Jewish Center or Jewish Community, but it's Jewish and Zionist. And up to today, it's called Centro Israelita Sionista, Zionist, Jewish or Israelite Community.
What about the other Jewish groups? Is there still a Sephardic community? Are they together with the Ashkenazi community? Do they have their own synagogue?
As far as we know, there is no Sephardic community as such. There are Sephardic people who belong whether to this large synagogue or to other smaller synagogues. There used to be not a community, but they used to get together to pray until the 1970s for the high holidays. Sephardic Jews from families like Maduro, Sasso, Lindo, and others, but as far as we know, not anymore. Together, they used to pray also with others who came from Germany and other places. However, there are Sephardic Jews now as members of the synagogue, some of them coming from South America, Chile and Argentina mostly, also Peru, I think, and some from Israel, and very importantly from Panama, because there are marriages among Jews in Central America and South America, so some of them are Sephardic Jews. Now, there is another synagogue which belongs to Chabad. There is a third synagogue which is a Reform synagogue. And there, they are mostly Jews from the United States who arrived in Costa Rica, firstly in the 1980s and from then on.
You also said that there are Jews who have recently gone to Costa Rica from places like Venezuela, Colombia, Russia. Do you think that they are finding a safe haven?
Well, in the case of South America, certainly, I think that many of those families, although some came because of marriage with Costa Ricans, but others didn't feel very safe in Venezuela and for some time in Colombia. I think that now in Colombia there isn't so much emigration, neither from the Jews nor others. But there was emigration not only from Jews, but in general from Colombia during the period when there was there was a lot of terrorism and the security situation was very weak. And Venezuela, especially during certain years where the Jewish community was harassed, some of them emigrated. I understand that mostly to the U.S., Miami in particular, and other places in Latin America, and a few came to Costa Rica.
Something that I think is very interesting is that Costa Rica never seems to have had what you might call official anti-Semitism in the sense, I don't mean persecuting the Jews, but I know that in certain countries, for example, Jews are not permitted to run for certain political offices and things like that. That's not true in Costa Rica, is it?
Absolutely. What you said is true. Official anti-Semitism, never. Even though up to today, and there is a large debate in the country, not with the Jews, officially, according to the Constitution, Costa Rica is a Catholic country. And as I say, in the last 10 years, there has been a very intense debate about making it a more secular country, not declaring that it's a Catholic state. But there has never been official anti-Semitism, except for what I said, that in the 30s and 40s, there was an instruction to Costa Rican consulates not to allow Jews to come to Costa Rica, but it was never applied, in fact, I think. But that was a very exceptional thing. To the contrary, especially after the 1948, I would say there is a large sympathy for Israel and for the Jews in Costa Rica. I would say that mostly in the 1960s, after the Six-Day War, the wave of sympathy for Israel was, and for the Jews, was very, very high. In the last few years, with the conflict in Israel, then I would say that sympathy is not so clear. But yes, as you said, there was no official anti-Semitism. There have been isolated events of anti-Semitism. In the 1950s, one day, I remember I was a child, there was a demonstration and some people went through the main street, which is the commercial street in San Jose, where many Jews used to have stores, which is not necessarily the case today, and they broke some of the windows in the street. But that was an isolated event, which I remember, and since the 1960s, nothing like that.
Because Jews, including yourself, have held very high positions.
Well, we Jews have had, some of us, a certain generation, very high interest in public life in Costa Rica, including political life. I think I grew up in a family which was, public debate, public issues were debated very, very intensely and for many reasons. And it's true, we've had three Costa Rican vice presidents who have been Jews, including my wife. Two of us have been presidents of the Congress, called in Costa Rica Asamblea Legislativa. I was the first one. And immediately after me came another one from the opposite party. Just as an anecdote, I think I was the first Jew invited to visit the Knesset in Israel as president of a foreign parliament in 1997. And there have been ministers. The first one was Minister of Health in 1974, but since then there have been several ministers, and there have been several congressmen, and two out of six ombudsmen in Costa Rica have been two Jewish women.
What are the main challenges to the Jewish community now?
Well, since many years ago, I have said to the people in the community that we would confront several challenges, and I think those predictions are coming true. First is a demographic challenge, because it's a very small community, and obviously after some time it's very difficult to keep all the youth, particularly, you know. As the community progressed economically, many of the young people leave the country, go to study abroad, whether for undergraduate studies or for postgraduate studies, mostly I would say to the United States and to Israel. So now people are talking about that. Secondly, I would say that there is some polarization or some discussion about the degree of practice of the religion, because the community has become more orthodox, and I would say it's very active in that sense, but there are parts of the community who don't necessarily share that, and that has created some, I think that in the future maybe will become a more open issue to discuss. And thirdly, also socioeconomic differentiation, although there is a lot of solidarity, let's say, among the community, in the sense that, you know, there are social groups which raise money, donations, etc., to help families who can't make it. I haven't mentioned, but probably the most important institution in the community, who everybody praises, is the school, which is primary school and secondary and high school. It's 50-something years old, and 95% of the children of the community go to that school. So that's a strength, but at the same time makes the young people meet each other and know each other from childhood to the end of their teens every day. So then it makes a little bit more difficult to establish couples and to establish, you know, the person of interest, because they see each other more like siblings sometimes. So, you know, it's a double-edged aspect. And at the same time, because we established very early in the 1950s also a youth movement, Zionist youth movement, and the same people participate in that too. So there is a lot of activity, but the life of the young people is concentrated among themselves the majority of the time, and I think that is causing some problems. Those are my opinions. Not necessarily everybody shares that view, but I think every day some people start recognizing that as a challenge.
So it sounds like you don't have a big problem with assimilation then.
Well, I would say no, precisely because of that. It's not a big problem, it's not like in the US, but it happens a lot that people get married outside the community, although in many cases, the other person goes through a conversion, which, by the way, has to be an Orthodox conversion, a very difficult process in order to be accepted as part of the community, of the center, except for the Reform, who are more lax. So I would say, present day, we are going through a kind of transition, and it's a bit difficult to foresee exactly what will happen in the next decade or so. I would say that up to now or a decade ago, it was a quite stable community, and everybody thought that, you know, things will go smoothly. But now new phenomena are coming in, also with globalization probably around the world. And as I said, with the economic improvement and the opening up of new opportunities and new ways of looking at things. So I think it's a challenging period, and we will have to wait and see.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have missed?
Well, I would like to invite everybody who will listen to this program to visit Costa Rica. We are very proud. We always say in my family, and I know that in many Jewish families, but in my family that was a kind of religion, to thank God that our grandfather arrived first in Costa Rica, because I think we are blessed with a country who is democratic, which is very accepting of others, a country where social and economic differences of course exist, but they are not as polarized or as strong as in other countries in Latin America. And we are blessed with a beautiful nature. We have one of the highest rates, if not the highest rate, of biodiversity in the world because of the position of the country in the sphere, in the earth. So I'd like to invite everybody to visit, and if they are interested in Jewish life, also to visit the community. There is a museum of the community in the Jewish center, which is very interesting. But beware to advise to let know your visit in advance, because there are many security measures, and because we all know what problems exist. So don't feel it personally if they ask you a lot of questions and they ask you a lot of requisites in order to visit the Jewish Center. But yes, by all means, what I would like is, first of all, to thank God and to thank my parents and grandparents for living in Costa Rica, and to the people of Costa Rica, and to invite everybody to visit.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner @RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.